This is my radio story on Algoa FM.
I'm Charles Leslie, and I'm being joined by Dennis Karanchis. Have you done this before?
Hello, Charles. Yes, I have done this before, occasionally.
because when we were recording the one that where Carol Ann and I were talking about our radio story, we realized that it's been an impossibly long time since she and I have been in a radio studio together for the purposes of doing anything radio-related, and it was crazy in that sense.
It is, yet you're still so busy doing radio stuff behind the scenes.
Though. Well, exactly that. DK, as you are affectionately known,
yep.
What do you do here? Well, so, let's start with the title.
Okay, so I'm the sales manager at Algoa FM, yep. And essentially I look after all the advertising revenue that comes into our business and manage a team of local sales executives. We've got Angelique in the Garden Route, Tracy and Natalie in East London. We've got Colin, Leslie Ann, Kate, Koliswa, Nina, Yolisa and Yasikan in PE. And then obviously we've got Nadia as well as our creative executive. So it's quite a diverse team.
It really is. And when you unpack it like that, I'm like, you're right, actually. It is all of those people.
Yeah. And then, obviously, there's a secondary part of our advertising game, and that is our national team in Johannesburg called United Stations. So they've got a very, very large team, and essentially they service all the ad agencies, Johannesburg, Cape Town, Durban, and look after all the national brands. So they keep us very, very busy as well. But the real game for me is down here, where we interface with a lot of SMMEs and local businesses, and successfully at that as well. So, yeah, it's an exciting job. No day is ever the same, even though there are elements that can be the same.
Yeah.
But we deal with people, deal with creative challenges, deal with solutions, and really, really just play a really strong, supportive a role with local business and do it successfully, I might add.
Yeah. It's worth making the distinction for anybody who's listening to this, if the distinction isn't clear in their minds already, that there is a big difference between community radio and commercial radio. Algoa FM is a big, old, for want of a better way of putting it, commercial radio station. We've been around for just over 37 years. We're a trusted brand. Which I suppose must make the job of selling slightly easier because we're trusted. Our track record stands for itself. But, it's still business.
I think purely from a sales and an advertising and a marketing perspective, you know, today, Shaul, the world has changed so much. Everybody's got a mobile phone in their pocket.
Yep.
And essentially, everybody owns their own media by having that mobile phone. You know, 10 years ago, you couldn't commentate as freely as you can now using your telephone. So there's a lot that's come at us as a well-established and trusted brand, and there's a really good space for community radio, and they do a great job, but essentially the business models are different.
Yeah.
Out of necessity. And yes, you know, so we obviously have built and we've nurtured a really, really great audience across the footprint. We cover the whole of the Eastern Cape and the Garden Route. We're community radio is focused just on their community. Mm. So, and yes, they do play a positive role. But for us, and for me especially, I'm quite passionate about when I talk to businesses, you know, the decisions you make, often they are about rands and cents, but it should be really about picking the right vehicle of delivery for your brand. And by that I mean, you know, who's going to give you the best returns? Who's going to really take your brand to the market and make you a household name? So when you do talk about beds with or without partners, people know exactly who you're talking about.
They really do.
And that's really a good case study to unpack at some point. So there is a differentiation, but I got to say, I wouldn't say everybody's coming at us, but everybody knows Algoa.
Yeah.
And everybody feels that they want to behave like Algoa. And in media, you've got to kind of pick your lane and you've got to stay with it and build your strategy around that.
Yeah, whilst imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, it might not necessarily work for you.
Yeah.
I suppose the ultimate point that I was making is, and I don't know if people generally know this, the vast majority of income made by commercial radio stations is by selling on-air commercials, right?
Traditional media is still strong in South Africa, and often I have quite a lot of mates that are abroad that work in international media. And you often find yourself saying, look, you don't understand the South African or the African market is different. And it is.
It really is.
Traditional media is still very, very strong. But that said, we have put our fingers out into the social, into the social media space, into the digital space. This last year that we've had as a radio station in the Eastern Cape and Garden Route, we have been in an activation market. So you would know we've had so many of the jocks on the ground at retail, and we are promoting and selling for our clients beds, TV sets, fans, Weber bras, Lazy Boys, and we can carry on just naming them. And I actually said to somebody the other day, you know, how many more beds are we going to sell?
All of them
is probably the right answer. But so we've been in an activation market where we have actually used the strength of our traditional media to promote something that's happening at a retail store on a Friday and a Saturday morning. And the dividends for our retailers have been like really proper. And that's really what our business is about. So we're not just about traditional media, even though it does generate a lot of our revenue and it is essence of what we are as a traditional media product. But we have flexed our muscles outside of that and used the traditional media to promote events, launches, sales, promotions, et cetera, et cetera. And that's where the beauty of radio comes out. And that's why radio has been able to reinvent itself so many times so well over the years.
Yeah, it's crazy when you put it like that, because that's literally what it is. But to some extent, your kind of portfolio is about relationship building, isn't it? Whilst delivering results, because you need to have a relationship with your client where you understand one another, where you're able to meet their needs, tailor their needs, make them understand why we're the experts, and roll it out for them. But as I've said, because whenever I used to do studio tours, one of the things, or station tours, I used to say, if our business doesn't work for you, if our advertising doesn't work for you, we have two problems. We no longer have your money, and you're a bad advert for us. So that relationship building and that meeting the client's needs is surely absolutely key.
100%. I mean, we operate in quite a unique sort of space, in a sense that you'll walk into a retail store, meet somebody, have a couple of meetings with them, and you'll walk out with a signed piece of paper and the commitment from a client that they're going to spend X amount of money with you over a year or 6 months or 3 week period, on a promise of, don't worry, we'll get it done for you.
Yeah.
So for us, taking a real interest in our client's business, in them as business owners, is important. And our business is never about us. It's always about them. So building relationships, and we've got some clients that go back 20, 30 years, and I can rattle them off, you know, Atlas Security, the Tafco Group, the Kelston Motor Group, Raffi. And so we go, ITT Transport. These are all people that are more than just clients. So City Paint and Tool, these people are friends of our business. But every single person that I've mentioned are amazingly successful business owners in their own right, and they are tough negotiators. So we have to be on point with whatever we do, because they have the absolute permission to demand it from us. So for me, I'm quite fastidious about that. And then it rolls back into the kind of people that we appoint to work in our team. And the way we hired a sales team 10 years ago is totally different to the way we're hiring salespeople today. Because you've got to understand, I always say, and this probably is the Greek in me coming out, I always say you've got to understand money.
True.
And what does that mean? Because we are taken into the confidence of our clients, and we are playing with their money. So if we don't get it right, and we are not serious about what we do, even though fun is a serious business with us, if we're not serious about what we do, the results that we deliver, the solutions that we create, and the way that we look after them, then they will not spend their money with us. They will go elsewhere.
Yeah.
So yes, results are important, but to gather those results and get those results, there's a lot of work going on in the background. But for us to get a relationship going takes time, and you know, it's hard to build trust in your brand. It's exactly the same for every single salesperson, and for me and for you that operate in this market.
Yeah. So it's clear to me from the conversation we've had so far that you have a very firm grip on radio by now.
It's been 18 years, John.
Well, that's what I was about to ask. Aren't you sorry you left booze for this bunch of misfits?
Well, I didn't leave booze totally, but...
So your radio story starts at the more or less after... booze and fast moving consumer goods.
Yeah. So
let's talk about that.
Yeah. So
how did you get here?
Well, it was thanks to Dave Talkman that I got here. I worked in the liquor industry for 16 and a half years for a really big company called Stellenbosch Farmers Winery that later became Distell, and moved on from there to work for the Spa Group as their promotions and advertising manager. Loved both industries. Made some amazing good friends and...
Still about people.
About people, yeah. So I've always been in that people self-marketing sort of game. Out of the blue, it was a telephone call.
Okay.
From Dave, and my initial reaction was, nah, that's not really something that I think I want to do. And Mr. Persistent, he like said, no, listen, come on, let's have a coffee together and have a chat, is what we did. And... I then got a phone call from him to say, listen, send me your CV. So I sent it to him. And at that stage, I mean, I had brought Spa to radio quite a lot in the Eastern Cape particularly, and had been gotten quite close to the station, gotten to know everybody. So from that perspective with the people, I remember you were still on air like in the week kind of thing. I was very comfortable with the people. And... typically, Dave, he said to me, can you come to my office at about 5 o'clock on Wednesday, whatever it was? So I thought, okay, cool, I'll go and see Dave. And in I went and took me upstairs to the board, to the old Boardwalk boardroom.
Yeah.
And I walked into the boardroom and there was Kevin Tulium Tila was the HR manager at the time, Ravik from Joburg. And I'm going like, what's all this about? So Dave says to me, we want to have an interview, I said, but I haven't applied for anything, bro. So
that's forward.
So I sat down and we had like probably an hour and a half to our chat, which was pretty cool. I mean, you know me. I mean, Kevin, it was obviously a couple of tough questions or whatever. But so Dave then says to me, listen, I'm going to take you to my office. Just go and sit in my office and then I'll come back to you. I said, and now he says, no, we just want to have a quick chat. So he came to me out of his office and said, listen, you know, we want to make you an offer to come and join.
The job you didn't apply for, you got it.
Yeah, so I kind of said, well, put stuff in writing and let me see where it is. And I'll never regret making the move. As much as I loved where I was, and it was a great company to be in, with lots of really good people, and I was there for exactly 2 years. So I'm kind of a loyal person, and it was quite a tough decision. But for me, it was the right decision. I have to say, my learning curve at Algoa was steep.
Surely.
Like, very steep. Because there was quite a long period where there wasn't a sales manager in place. There was some tragedy that struck the station, and there wasn't a sales manager in place. And so from that perspective, there wasn't a lot of direction at that time. But we got it right in quite a short period of time. And I took to it well. I mean, I've always known, and I know one thing about myself with people and that kind of thing, I'm pretty solid. You know, I can see a big picture quite quickly. But getting to grips with the radio stuff was the steep learning curve, understanding the industry, how it worked and that kind of thing. And I think my background... you know, Taltman is a lot of things, but the greatest thing about him for me is that he understands people.
Yeah. In
his own way, he's a really, really strong people's person. You don't have to question his radio credentials. And so from that perspective, he knew what he was doing. I know for a fact he phoned one of my really, really good friends that he knows well. And he said to him, what can you tell me about Dennis? And the guy said to him, look, if you want a guy that's going to work hard for you, but is going to tell you like it is, he's your guy. If you can manage that, then Dennis is your guy.
Yeah, so, I get that completely. That's my experience.
So, yeah, and I think Algoa's history when Dave was here is littered with good appointments that he made. Had the knack of finding good people for the right positions and let them recreate themselves. And yeah, Dave kind of epitomizes an open door policy in a sense that he will say to you, I will say to him, I want to do this. And you'll look at it and you'll say, yeah, maybe move it left or right a little bit, but I'm happy that you go and do it. Let's see how what happens. Very, very seldom was there a no, that's not a good idea.
Right.
And I valued that about him. But for me, it was the people that I came into the team with, that we had to recreate a whole new sales team. At that time, Suren Pekery was on his own in East London.
Right.
Cherie was around, Peter Corby was around, Leslie Ann was the sales coordinator, and when I was at the Spa Group, Janice Kruger went on maternity leave, and Leslie Ann came to look after us. And when I joined Algoa, I said to Leslie Ann, I'm going to make you a sales executive. Because she had so much potential.
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't think I can do that, Dennis. It's too much for me. And look at her now.
Yeah, there's an efficiency and a realness that you'd find hard to match.
Yeah. So I've been able to do that, is to find like good people and bring them in where they fitted into our culture really well. I always say, radio and sales, we can teach you. It's who you are if you're going to make that happen.
Yeah.
So that's my philosophy. I've always hired people on personality. And yes, there's an inherent skill set that I look for.
Obviously.
And I'm quite fastidious about that. But the personality and whatever, I mean, I appointed Jessica Naidu 2 years ago. And there was another one of him going like, oh, I'm not really sure. He was a client, working for a client. And he was like, I'm not really sure that I should do this radio thing. And 2 years in, he's absolutely flying sky high. And I think in the early days, I remember Dave walking into my office. I started in October. He walked into my office at the end of November, and he said to me, so DK, how's it going? I said, Dave, I haven't gotten to grips with everything yet, but there's something wrong with our business model. He says to me, why? I said, we haven't made budget in November. We're running out of bloody airtime. So I said to him, but just give me enough time, I'll work it out. And so it took a lot of work for me. And I've got to say, the people around me, Cherie, Leslie Ann, Janice, the sales team inherently, I learned a lot from them. Nikki Clutie-Barris was part of the team at the time. Really experienced people. And, you know, you should never be too big or too bold to not learn from the people that you work with. And so I worked through it all, and in about January, I got a phone call from this very New Zealand, Australian-sounding person. And at that time, it was Roy Hawker. And, you know, Roy talks like this, and he talks very fast, and he talks very very Kiwi. And it was like,
what? What are you saying? What?
Hi, Dennis. I'm phoning on behalf of this company called NRS Media, and we're a media consultancy, and we're researching South Africa. Anyway, I'd been at Algoa for about 5 or 6 months, and I'm having this long conversation about radio with this guy in Sydney. And essentially, that was the start of what became a 12-year relationship with NRS Media as a company for Algoa and many other radio stations in South Africa. But we were the first. And they, at that time, the company has been sold on, we're probably the foremost media consultants globally, and they focused on direct sales. And we engaged them in a working relationship for 12 years, and they kind of changed the face of how we approached selling radio. We brought in a few products that they had developed, a good couple of training sessions, etc., and just lifted the bar for us to a level where we were able to impact what we were doing like quickly and massively. And that for me was like a very short and steep learning curve, working with people like that had been in radio internationally. And it's an opportunity that I would never pass by ever again. And it was an amazing opportunity for me personally, because it gave me all the tools that I needed to go forward and be as successful as I have been, even if I say that myself.
Yeah. I must say, one of the things that I admire most about Algoa FM as an organization and a team and as a brand is that we acknowledge that pretty much everything has been done. And that which hasn't been done, we will find the people who do it best and we will work with them to kind of tailor it to make it work for our market, whether it's listeners or advertising clients, or simply as a corporate citizen. But that concept of finding and implementing best practice, I think, is the thing that is the single most important thing that has stood us in the best stead. And you can see that every day in how we get things done.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And it's important, you know, that we have reinvented ourselves a couple of times.
You have to, if you're such a mature brand.
Exactly. And that's what's kept us sort of ahead of the curve. And if I just look at what we went through during the COVID lockdown period, which was terrible. I mean, you know, what we did into the market for our clients, for the community, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, we're a caring brand. I mean, we are. We're a powerful brand. We're a caring brand. But, you know, coming out of that COVID period, it was challenging. It was very, very challenging going through the COVID, the lockdown periods, and then coming out of it. But we've come out of it really well. And as we've come out of it, we've reinvented so many things in terms of how we do them. I mean, we've taken activation products and we've remolded them into what suits the market right now. But, you know, we came up with a great deal promotion idea in a sales meeting. How could we help our clients? Because we couldn't get a lot of consumers into a store at any one given time. And we came up with like a digital solution that really, really worked hard and worked well for our retailers. And we even won a radio award for it, which really speaks to our innovation. And that's probably one of the nicest things about Algo. And you, because we work so closely in it, you and I and the people that work here, you kind of miss what we do from an outsider's perspective and going like, wow, you actually have actually done that. And it's amazing if you had to step away and just see what can start off as an idea and all of a sudden it starts becoming a reality. And the next thing you know, you've got like 12,500 people walking along the beachfront kind of thing. And you're like, how did that happen? And that's kind of it, you know. And for me, that's been here for 18 years and we've got this plethora of youngsters that have started coming through. I've also injected a different opinion and a different view on things, which adds to the innovation and the way we reinvent things and how we do things and those kinds of things. You know, we've got a crazy guy in our digital team now that is creating content that we didn't create a year ago.
Yeah.
So we're always learning and we're always letting people learn. And because you're the sales manager, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be learning from people around you.
Yeah, and the fact that we're not too proud to say, please help me or show me or explain to me is also one of the
100%
really, and, really cool things.
But I tell you it's not only that, Charles. I mean, we have so much fun doing what we do as a business, you know, and that we kind of sometimes overlook that in terms of how people out there look at Algo and they go like, shit, you guys are working in such a great environment, and we do. But I mean, you and I have been around long enough to know the kind of parties that we've had and the kind of fun that we've had, which really adds to the bonus of working in a business like this.
I was only slightly joking when I said this bunch of misfits. look, I mean, in terms of if you look at the kinds of personalities that media inherently and the entertainment industry attracts, they are so widely divergent. But your guys are supposed to be kind of more serious, more goal driven, more type A, or the, and yet the way that the staff complement here is blended works really, really well for us as well. There's the right level of experience and curiosity.
Yeah, that's very important. I think curiosity is a good word, but the blend of experience is important, and I think we've got it right. Things change. People get married, they move. People decide to immigrate. People change.
Still talking about just the one person.
things change. I mean, it is. But you know, if you can hold onto some values in terms of culture and fit and the way that you do things, and that will also change as time progresses. But inherently, the DNA of Algoa has remained. It's always been there. It's changed a little bit here and there, but then the DNA is important. And I always say when people come in, new people come in, I always say, listen, it's up to you to keep that culture going and to add to that culture and make it stronger and bring your game and bring your fun and those kinds of things, because that's what makes this place so special. You know, like we do an annual roadshow every year. where we go and talk to SMMEs across the region, and we talk to them about marketing and advertising and how to grow their business, et cetera, et cetera. And if I could tell you the kind of fun that we've had over the years doing that, it's been hysterically funny, but it's stories, you know, it's really great stories that we carry with us in terms of what we've done. And all that pressure of work kind of goes away, because that roadshow specifically that we do every year is like a ton load of work. And there is pressure every day. And I'm like the old man in the background with a big stick going like, come on, guys, get back on the phones. Come on, guys, we need to do this. Let's do it like that. We're running out of time. Yeah, we got to that. Where's this? Where's that? But everybody knows that when we get on the road, we have a lot of fun while we're doing it. Some of the stories are legendary.
And some should never see the light of day.
Some should never see the light of day. But I'll tell you one of my favorite stories. We were driving back from East London. We had a combi at that stage. And I was driving the combi, and we'd have had a really, 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 really heavy Thursday night at the end of a 7-day roadshow. And we had a party of night. And I was driving the combi, being the responsible person, you know. And Andy Iverson was sitting in the passenger seat next to me, kind of half asleep. And everyone else in the combi was sleeping. And Koliswa was in the back, right-hand side, back seat, sort of sleeping on a pillow. And as I've been known, I was traveling quite quickly. And we got pulled over. And and do you remember those days? You used to get those demo CDs. They were like in those very thin little cartridges. They were like 2 or 3 songs on them.
Yeah.
And on the combi dashboard, there's that little, like, there was like a little slot, and there was about 15 of these CDs
not for long
in there. And we were listening to music. And as I pulled over, this elderly traffic cop came, and he put both his arms on the window, and he looked in the combi, and he went like, "Hey, Radio Algoa." And I said to him, "Yes, how's it going?" He said to me, "You know you were speeding." I said, "Yes, I know I was speeding." I said, "How bad was it?" I think I was like 12, 15 k's over the speed limit. He says to me, "I'm going to have to give you a fine." So I said to him, I said, "You see that lady in the back corner sleeping?" I was referring to Koliswa now. So he says to me, "Yes." I said, "That's Bully G. I've got to get her to Port Elizabeth at 3 o'clock to get her on air." And he said to me, "Really?" I said, "Yep." And then I said to him, "Do you enjoy music?" He says, "Yeah." So I reached over and I grabbed about 5 of those CDs. And I said, "Well, here's some music for you. Do you mind if we get going?" I says, "Go, go, 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 go." And we were out of there. But yeah, bless Bully soul. I think she was already on air by the time we were off at a pee.
Oh, crazy. Yeah, it's surely a lifetime of stories. And again, to kind of summarize, fun is a serious business.
100%, Sean. I mean, it is. And I mean, even in the daily grind here at the station, you know, we're in a beautiful building in the Valley now, and it does lend itself to a lot of fun and a lot of humor. And I think the success of this radio station has also built up our characters.
Yeah.
And even in our sales team, you know, Colin Mateus drives us batty, but he's got an incredible sense of humor. Nina, Coley, Kate, Leslie Ann. I mean, you can hear Leslie Ann laughing from downstairs all the way up to the top of the building.
Yeah.
Really, really keep us energized. In East London, if you can't hear Tracy Gravett, then there's something wrong with you.
Got it.
So, yeah, it's, fun is really important. And I think the kind of world that we're living in now and the kind of pressure that we're under and the things that we are confronted with almost on a daily basis, health teeth as South Africans, if we're not laughing at ourselves or with ourselves, then we're in more trouble than we think.
Yeah. Well, thank you for two things, for coming to tell your radio story, and thank you for coming to this radio station.
It's a pleasure, Saul. It's great to be here, man. It's been great chatting to you.
This is my radio story on Algoa FM.